From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to The Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm The Miracle Hunter. This past week, on February 2nd, we celebrated Candlemas, the Feast of the Purification of Mary, or the Presentation, as it's referred to in more modern times, and we'll be talking about a Marian apparition whose anniversary lines up exactly to that date, or at least the feast day is celebrated on that day, and we're talking, of course, about Our Lady of Good Success. This is an incredible apparition that happened centuries ago in the 1500s as it started out, but made some predictions for the 20th and 21st centuries that seem to be coming true in great detail. We'll be talking today with Matthew Arnold, an absolute expert on Our Lady of Good Success, about those incredible apparitions that not many people know of from Quito in Ecuador. And we've got a big-time interview for you today. We're going to be speaking with Father John Hollowell, the pastor of Annunciation in Brazil, Indiana. And he was healed of a brain tumor at Lourdes. This has been catching fire all over the Catholic blogosphere. People are talking about this incredible healing of a priest who had a brain tumor and went to Lourdes and washed in the waters of Lourdes and came back and was completely healed. And we'll be talking with Father John Hollowell about his amazing story in just a little bit. And speaking of amazing stories, if you haven't been to Naples, you should go there for the pizza, but you should stay for St. Januarius. He's one of 30 patron saints in all of Naples. And there's an incredible mystery that happens each and every year on his feast day. The dried blood of his 3rd century martyrdom is said to liquefy, and it's a sign that no harm will befall the people of Naples. It's absolutely amazing. We've got it on film from when we were there a few years ago, and it's absolutely amazing how this blood liquefies every year, except for years of war and famine and earthquakes and plague. During coronavirus, it didn't liquefy either. So it's a pretty interesting thing that happens there in Naples with San Gennaro, as he's called there, or St. January. So tune in tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Explore with the Miracle Hunter, this episode about Naples. And next week will be an episode of Blessed Solanus Casey on They Might Be Saints. And that'll air on Friday, February 10th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And Solanus Casey is known far and wide as the miracle-working Capuchin from Detroit. And his beatification was attended by 60,000 people at Ford Field in 2017. And I'll be examining his simple yet remarkable life, this Blessed Solanus Casey. So check that one out on EWTN. And look for my latest book, Science and the Miraculous, How the Catholic Church Investigates the Supernatural, out from Tan Books and available at EWTNRC.com. We hear this many times that the church is anti-science, but if you read this book, you'll have all the ammunition you ever need about how the church has been the great promoter and supporter of science through the centuries, and how science is used in a big way when they look at the Catholic Church's rigorous investigation of miraculous occurrences such as Eucharistic miracles. And join me on pilgrimage. You can go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. In April, I'll be going to Poland to go on an incredible trip there, to go to all the sites of St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, John Paul II sites as well, and of course, Eucharistic miracles, Marian apparitions, and things of this nature, miraculous images like Our Lady of Częstochowa. We'll be going to all those places in Poland, so join me. Go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. And later in the show, we're going to be looking at the 365 Days with Mary Project. For today, February 4th, we've got Our Lady of the Fire from Forli in Italy in the year 1428. And the might-be saint of the day is Blessed Angela Serafina Cordiari from Italy, who died in the year 1512. And the question of the week, it's an easy one. It's a softball. Where can I watch missed episodes of the Explore with the Miracle Hunter series? I'll answer that in just a little bit. Let's take a look at the miracle news. We do this every week where we talk about miracles happening all around the world and those things that relate to miracles. And the big news this week, and we're going to actually be speaking with Father John Hollowell from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis later in the program today. This was the biggest news item on my Facebook page in a long time. and it's being picked up all over the Catholic blogosphere as well, that a priest with a brain tumor says he was healed while visiting Lourdes, and his quote is, "I'm very excited," according to the Church Pop article that first broke the story. And so Father John Hollowell of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis announced on January 30th on his blog that he was healed of a brain tumor while he was at Lourdes, and he washed in the waters of Lourdes. And so he offered his suffering for the victims of clergy abuse. And this is an incredible story that's been validated by the Mayo Clinic. His tumor is completely gone. And after MRI, we see no regrowth of that tumor. So absolutely amazing. Is it miracle number 71 from Lourdes? Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see. Those very strict standards for that. And people can tune into Miracles of Lourdes, which will be airing on February 11th on EWTN, my new one-hour episode that looks at the miracles, how they're investigated by that Lourdes Medical Bureau there in Lourdes, those dating back to 1858, 70 cures out of the 7,700 investigated by the Lourdes Medical Bureau. So check that one out. But we're looking forward to talking to Father John Hollowell later in today's program. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. Every week I ask a trivia question and give out a prize to an emailer who writes in the fastest with the correct answer. People who are my friends, they know I love trivia. I played trivia the other night and won first place at the trivia night that I was at. So I really like this stuff. And so we ask you a trivia question each and every week. But of course, this is just Catholic Pub Trivia. So last week we asked the question. We're talking today with Sister Mark Randall about Mother Mary Angeline Teresa McCrory. We talked to her last week. And, of course, Mother Angelica will be a saint someday. We believe everyone at EWTN does anyway. And so the question was, other than Mother Mary Angeline Teresa McCrory being called Mother, name any of the others who are venerables or blesseds who were referred to as Mother while they were alive here in the United States. And those three from the list of 24 future American saints is Mother Maria Kalpas from Chicago, Mother Celestina Botego from Boston is where her order is now, and Mother Mary Teresa Dudzik from Chicago as well. So we have two Chicago mothers who are being considered as venerables. So thanks for everybody who wrote in with that answer. And today we're talking about the apparition of Our Lady of Good Success in Quito, Ecuador, beginning in 1594. And the question is, name any of the other three South American Marian apparitions investigated and approved as supernatural by the Catholic Church. So we're looking for any of the three South American Marian apparitions that have been investigated and approved as supernatural in the history of the Catholic Church. And just a hint, there have been many cases of miraculous statues and images from South America that have some recognition by the Catholic Church, but we're talking about actual visions, corporeal visions of the Virgin Mary. And so there's three of them, according to my count. So see if you can name any of those three. If you think you know that answer and want to win a prize, send me an email through my website, miraclehunter.com, and answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Matthew Arnold about Our Lady of Good Success, the incredible visions that happened in Quito, Ecuador, that predicted the state of the world in our modern day. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. People who follow the show know that I love talking about Marian apparitions, and we talk about the top 10 in my book called Virgin Mother Queen. We talk about these 10 cases where since the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church has investigated 10 of them and approved them as supernatural, or at least worthy of belief in the supernatural character of the events. And so, considering the 2,500 or so Marian apparitions throughout Christian history, we say 10 isn't a big number, and perhaps the number is 11 if we were to include Our Lady of Good Success from Quito in Ecuador. Those apparitions happened in 1594. The documentation on those is difficult to find, I think, but but perhaps this is should also be considered in the top 11, you might say, of recent Marian apparitions, or modern Marian apparitions, and I'm using the word modern lightly, dating back to the 1500s, of course. And we talk about the Council of Trent having occurred in 1545 to 1563, and that's when the Church first established its criteria or process for doing investigations of miracles. Up to that point, perhaps miracles were just sort of approved by a local priest or a local bishop, or the faithful gathering and praying and saying, yep, that looks miraculous, the formal process of the Church, where it goes through the local bishop and perhaps then sent to Rome for validation. That's the current process, and that dates back to the Council of Trent. And so when we reference Our Lady of Good Success, we talk about those events that happened in Quito in Ecuador, perhaps starting as early as 1594, other visions later perhaps. And the story goes that there was a Spanish-born Conceptionist sister, Venerable Mariana de Jesus Torres, and her body is now incorrupt, if I'm not mistaken. She was praying and saw a vision of the Blessed Mother, who made prophecies regarding the worldwide crisis in the Church and society that would begin in the 19th century and extend through the 20th century and beyond. And this religious souls would be reduced to a small number, and many vocations would perish. Great impurity would reign, and people would be without any care for spiritual matters. And Our Lady commanded that a statue be made to her likeness under the title of Our Lady of Good Success. And the statue was begun by a sculptor, but then, according to pious tradition, it was completed by angels. And the statue was blessed on February 2nd, 1611. And, of course, February 2nd is the big feast day of Our Lady of Good Success. So that makes good sense there. So we talk about Our Lady of Good Success as being perhaps the earliest of the approved Marian apparitions. And we don't see a big sign of approval as we do in other Marian apparitions. We haven't seen big statements from the Church, from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, or from the Pope approving this as supernatural. But we do see that the visionary, Mariana de Jesus Torres, a Conceptionist sister, she was declared venerable. So when we talk about looking at the life of heroic virtue of a saint or future saint, you know, lying about visions isn't really one of those things that the Catholic Church is too happy about. So when you do see a declaration of venerable or blessed or saint related to a Marian visionary, we can feel confident that the Church believes that she is telling the truth. So Our Lady of Good Success is one of these highly recognized, or at least understood to be, approved apparitions of the Virgin Mary. Well, we're so excited today to talk further about Our Lady of Good Success with author Matthew Arnold. And he has written numerous books and is perhaps the hands-down expert on Our Lady of Good Success here in the United States. So we're so grateful to welcome him back to the program. Welcome back to the show today, Matthew Arnold.
Thank you so much. I remember the last time you invited me, I was down with COVID. So good to be past that and back on the air with you.
Absolutely. We've all had it, and it's good to move on from that time, a crazy time in the world. And we talk about crazy times in the world, and people will often hearken back to these visions of Our Lady of Good Success in Quito, Ecuador, because they predicted some difficult times ahead, and this was centuries ago. Tell us a little bit about Our Lady of Good Success and what was predicted in those apparitions.
Right. Well, Mary appeared under that title to a religious sister in Quito for the first time, I think, in the year 1594. So this is going back some 400 years. And then again in 1599. And she gave her, there was a series of seven apparitions that took place over 40 years. And yes, she talked about things that would happen after the midpoint of the 20th century. Really, that there would be a collapse of faith and morals in the world, but also even in the Church. And of course, we can see that just happening all around us. I think one of the things that really strikes me, because it's also part of the message of Our Lady of America, who was recently approved, 2020, for private devotion, where Our Lady appeared here in the United States and talked about imitating her purity as a way to forestall some of the bad effects of these times. And Our Lady of Good Success talked about impurity, you know, particularly sexual impurity, said like a filthy ocean that touches everything, and that there would come a time when there would be almost no innocence found in children or modesty in women. And, you know, it's quite amazing. And she said there would be almost no virgin souls, which I believe is a reference to women religious. And, of course, we can see the crisis in vocations that we've had since the middle of the 20th century.
Absolutely. And when we talk about the title of Our Lady of Good Success, or Nuestra Señora del Buen Suceso,
yes.
That's a title that many American Catholics really don't understand. Or what is the meaning behind good success?
Right. It does. The first time I heard it, I thought to myself, well, that sounds like some kind of Catholic version of the health and wealth gospel. Our Lady of the Big Payoff, you know. And it's not that. To translate Buen Suceso from Spanish to English, it actually translates as good event or great event. And the sisters in Quito, when I was down there in 2017, they had written a letter and they asked me to speak in the Anglophone world, that the great event they're talking about is, in fact, the presentation. Right? That's why her feast day is the 2nd of February, the Feast of the Purification and the presentation of Jesus in the temple. Because that, when Our Lady is in the temple, offering herself to God, offering Christ to God, that it was, in fact, the greatest offering ever made in the temple. And that was the great event of Our Lady offering the sacrifice, as a sacrifice, her son.
Absolutely. We're talking today with Matthew Arnold, the author of Confessions of a Traditional Catholic and expert on Our Lady of Good Success. And when we talk about what actually transpired in these apparitions, we have a visionary who's now venerable, and we have perhaps an animated statue that was related to this apparition. Talk about some of these, the pieces of the apparition to help us understand what was happening in these events.
Right. When she, Our Lady, appeared to Mother Mariana in 1599, she commissioned Mother to have a statue of her made, holding the infant Jesus in one arm and a crozier and the keys to the convent in her right hand. And, you know, it might seem strange that Mary would have a crozier, but that's actually, in Catholic symbolism, you know, female saints who are abbesses and so forth will carry a crozier to show their authority over the convent. And that was the point, is that Mary said, I want to be recognized as the true and perpetual abbess of this convent. Okay, like this group of sisters belongs to me. And Our Lady told her how to make the statue. They told her how tall to make it. There's a wonderful story where Mary told Mother Mariana to remove her cincture to measure how tall to make the statue. And the cincture wasn't long enough. So the story goes that either Our Lady or the infant Jesus who she was holding reached out and took the cincture and made it stretch miraculously to the right length. You know, it's lots of little details like that that you get when you go and visit and talk to these sisters. Anyway, Mother Mariana didn't know anything about making statues. She's a cloistered nun. She was afraid to go to the bishop and ask permission because she thought he wouldn't believe her. So it was actually a number of years and before Our Lady appeared again and accused her of being disobedient, you know, that there was a fault. And so she went to the bishop, and he was very pleased to give permission. They had a local sculptor that Our Lady chose, and he made the statues. And when they were almost complete, made in the style of Quito Baroque, so it's carved from wood and painted and polished to a high gloss. And he wanted the best of paints, and so the sculptor went to Colombia to get paints from Spain. And while he was gone, according to Mother Mariana, the statues were miraculously completed by the archangels Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, who appeared with St. Francis of Assisi, who's the founder of the Conceptionists, they're part of the Franciscan family, and they completed the statues miraculously. And when the sculptor returned the next day, he said, this is a miracle. He went and got the bishop. The bishop said, this is a miracle. I went down there, I looked at the statue, I said, why did they think that this, you know, the statue was miraculously created? Because it looks, you know, I mean, it's a nice statue, mm-hmm. and it's certainly beautiful, but I mean, there's more statues of Mary than any woman who ever lived. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and many of them are very beautiful. But we have a situation here where the statues were not just completed, they had been transformed. Same piece of wood, but transformed to fit the image of what Mother Mariana saw. And amazing. So that was the very beginning of this devotion.
And for going forward, as we wrap up the interview today, we talk about people who engage with this devotion and want to learn something about the events that happened there in Quito, in Ecuador, at the end of the 1500s. What can we take away from this this devotion and this apparition and apply them to the modern world?
Well, I think the most important thing is that Our Lady told Mother Mariana that in this very difficult stage that we are passing through, not to lose heart, because she said that when all things would seem lost and paralyzed, and I have to admit, sometimes it seems to me that we're getting awfully close. She said, when all things seem lost and paralyzed, that will mark the arrival of my hour, when I will crush the head of the proud Satan under my feet. Okay, so again, it's a reference to Genesis 3:15. And of course, Our Lady crushes the serpent's head by her fiat to the angel Gabriel, by giving birth to the Messiah. And so it's Mary and Jesus. And she also said that devotion to her, and especially under this title, but devotion to Mary generally, would be a great comfort to the faithful in these times. Because we're not talking about the end of the world here. We're talking about the promise of a marvelous restoration of what's been lost in Christendom, both in the church and in society. And so that's the thing that we look for, as we say in Mass, not with despair or a fear, but with joyful hope.
Absolutely. Well, we're so grateful to you, Matthew Arnold, author of Confessions of a Traditional Catholic and expert on Our Lady of Good Success, talking to us about these incredible events which happened there in Quito, Ecuador. And of course, February 2nd is the big anniversary and feast day there in Quito and around the world, the Feast of the Presentation. So we're so grateful to you, Matthew Arnold, for being with us on today's program.
Thank you, Michael. It was great to be here.
God bless. That was Matthew Arnold talking to us about Our Lady of Good Success. Find out more about his work and about Our Lady of Good Success at matthewarnold.org. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I like getting questions. When I give talks around the country, I give 20 or so talks every year, travel to different Catholic conferences and parishes, and talk about miracles. And I always leave a little bit of time at the end of the night talking about question and answers, trying to answer those questions that are burning on people's minds related to miracles. I like to hear what people are thinking about. And so each time I do that, so people can find out about how to invite me to your parish if you go to the contact tab on the Miracle Hunter website. And I try to speak on the history of miracles, Marian apparitions, and more specifically these days, talking about Eucharistic miracles, which is a great time during our Eucharistic revival to learn about that. And so today I got a great question, and it's an easy one. Once in a while, I'll take a softball question, but this one is, Dear Miracle Hunter, I've been enjoying your Miracle Hunter programs on EWTN a great deal. I just watched your episode on Lourdes. I was wondering if these episodes are on YouTube or someplace else where I might be able to watch past episodes. Thanks so much for your help, Jim. Well, thanks, Jim, for your question. And again, I appreciate the softball question once in a while. And so people who miss the programs on EWTN when they air originally, so they air on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're talking about Explore with the Miracle Hunter. And so far we've done, I think, 18 of these programs, and we've got some programs coming out from England and Ireland coming up, and we've got new ones from France and Italy coming out, and I'll be filming in Poland shortly, and perhaps South America coming up. So these programs keep coming up. But if you miss one, you can, of course, tune in the next week, or you can go to ondemand.ewtn.com, which is a place where you can actually see those videos after after they air on demand. Or if you're looking to have the DVD, and I know different people like certain episodes and they want to rewatch them, and so you can do that. If you like watching DVDs, you can go to the EWTNRC website, Religious Catalog website, which is EWTNRC.com, and I believe /Miracle Hunter will get you to all my shows on They Might Be Saints, and also Explore with the Miracle Hunter. So thanks, Jim, for your softball question. I appreciate that one. And if you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email to miraclehunter@ewtn.com, or just go to my website, miraclehunter.com, and you can get a hold of me that way. Now let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary project. For this week, we've got, for February 4th, Our Lady of the Fire from Forli in Italy in the year 1428. And the story goes that a fire broke out in a school in Forli in the night of February 3rd to 4th and February 28th and burned for a few days. Now, a favorite image of the school children, a wooden icon of the Virgin and Child, was found to be unburnt amidst all the ashes. And this miraculous image was placed in the cathedral in the next Saturday by order of the governor and the papal legate. And a side aisle chapel in the cathedral was built in 1636 from marble and dedicated to Our Lady of Fire. And this image became famous throughout the region, and with reproductions found on doorways for protection against fire. And the Madonna of Fire is the patron of Forli, where her fiesta lasts from February 4th to the nearest Sunday. In celebration, the city is covered with fiery yellow acacias, the flower, and sweet bread with raisins is a popular treat sold throughout the city on those days. And that's Our Lady of the Fire from Forli in Italy in the year 1428. For more information on this fascinating devotion or any of the hundreds of other Marian devotions from around the world, you can go to the 365 Days with Mary website, or you can pick up the book or download the free app, 365 Days with Mary. If you join the Facebook page, you'll join any of 10,000 other followers who get a daily title of Mary. Let's take a look at the sainthood news. We do this every week where we talk about who's coming down the pipe when it comes to saints in our Catholic Church. And earlier this month, we see that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, received an audience, His Eminence Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. And during the audience, the Supreme Pontiff authorized the Dicastery to promulgate the decree concerning the heroic virtues of the servant of God, Gaetano Francesco Mauro, a diocesan priest and founder of the Congregation of the Pious Workers and Rural Catechists. And he was born in April of 1888 in Rogliano in Italy, and he died in December of 1969 in Montalto a Fugio in Italy. And he was a diocesan priest. He was the founder of this Congregation for the Pious Workers, Rural Catechists. And he was a simple and generous figure of a diocesan priest who tried to face pastoral emergencies with great dedication. With fortitude and trust in God, he accepted and offered his suffering to the Lord. And with one miracle, this man will go from blessed, will go to blessed, and then another miracle will make him a saint. And that was from the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints, that background on Gaetano Francesco Mauro. So stay tuned each week for an update on the might-be saints coming up. And let's take a look at the They Might Be Saint of the Day. We've got Blessed Angela Serafina Corgiari, who died in 1512 in Italy. And Blessed Angela Serafina Corgiari, for this feast day of February 4th, she was born to Italian nobility, and Angela became a Dominican nun at the Santa Caterina Convent in Ferrara in Italy, and she was known as a beautiful, pious woman who was endlessly devoted to prayer and served as prioress of her house for the last few months of her life. And she died on February 4th in 1512 at the convent of Santa Caterina in Ferrara of natural causes, and she is reported to have predicted the date of her death. And with one miracle, she will go from blessed to saint. So that's Blessed Angela Serafina Corgiari. For more information on her life and any of the other might-be saints, you can go to theymightbesaints.com. In which you'll also find the next airing of They Might Be Saints, which airs on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On February 10th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Blessed Solanus Casey is the subject of the next episode of EWTN's They Might Be Saints. And of course, you know Solanus Casey being famous as the miracle-working Capuchin from Detroit and his beatification attended by 60,000 people at Fort Field in 2017. Maybe that's more people than attend a Detroit Lions game. I don't really know. But I'll be examining his simple yet remarkable life in that 30-minute episode on Blessed Silanus Casey. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing about the fascinating story of Father John Halliwell, a pastor from Indiana who went to Lourdes with a brain tumor and came back healed. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. People who tune into this show know we talk about miracles exclusively on this program, and I produce television programs for EWTN. My big hour-long special coming up is called Miracles of Lourdes, and that'll be airing on February 11th. Check local listings for that special. And in that special, we talk to the head doctor of the Lourdes Medical Commission. That's Dr. Alessandro De Franciscis. And he talks about the various ways that people approach him with miracles that happen at Lourdes. And when we go through that episode or that program, we talk about that there have been perhaps 7,700 cases of cures that have been investigated since those 1958 apparitions to St. Bernadette Subaru. And of those, only 70 have been declared truly miraculous, that is, without natural explanation. The scientists there on the medical commission cannot find an answer for why it happened. And so the most recent case, I believe, happened in 2008 with Sister Bernadette Morio, who was cured of Cauda Aquina syndrome. But since the year 2000, there have only been 4 cures, and again, of a total of 70. So the number is very small. And so the process that one has to go through for submitting their miracle and following up with the Lourdes Medical Bureau is a long one and perhaps a difficult one as well. But there's a new claim of a miracle of a remarkable healing that happened to an American priest when he was there on pilgrimage to Lourdes, and it's a remarkable story. We can't say it's number 71 of those great miracles been validated there, but it's absolutely amazing. And we're so grateful to be joined today by that recipient of that healing, and that's Father John Halliwell from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Welcome to the program today, Father John.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, these stories of miraculous healings are catch the attention of so many people, and I'm sure you can testify to that, but I'm sure your phone has been ringing off the hook for people wanting to talk to you and hear more about your incredible story. But for those people who haven't yet seen this on your Facebook page or your blog and are catching up, tell us a little bit about your diagnosis. What did you experience when you before you went into the doctor that day?
Well, so I went up to the Mayo Clinic on February, and I received the diagnosis that I had a brain tumor on February 11th, 2020, which was the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes. And the Mayo Clinic actually was started by a Franciscan sister. There were Franciscan sisters in Rochester, Minnesota. And the head abbess at the time had this vision from Jesus that she should go into town and approach a Dr. Mayo. And so she did that. And the Mayo Clinic then kind of grew up with the Franciscan sisters actually being the nurses early on. And so it was kind of a joint effort. And the hospital actually is connected to the sisters' chapel still today, and the chapel is also Our Lady of Lourdes. So the night that I got my diagnosis on Our Lady of Lourdes, I got to have Mass in the chapel at Our Lady, the chapel under the title of Our Lady of Lourdes. And so, and basically, fast forward to this past summer, I thought, well, you know, it might be a good thing, you know, to just go to Lourdes and see what happens. And so I did, I know I was healed there. Anecdotally, it was a kind of a chaotic trip. I kind of went on my own, but as soon as I came back, people were telling me, like, I looked healthier. I had been able to preach extemporaneously in my early priesthood, but ever since going through chemo, I had to preach homilies off of, you know, written text. But then when I returned from Lourdes, I was also able to, again, be preaching extemporaneously. And then also there was, I got an MRI that kind of had prompted my trip to Lourdes that showed that the tumor had spread to my pituitary gland. And so there were some noticeable side effects that pituitary tumor has that I was experiencing, and those had stopped once I got back from Lourdes. So, yeah, I believe I was healed there.
Amazing. We're talking today with Father John Howell of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis about his experience of a healing at the great sanctuary there in Lourdes, the place of great healings where St. Bernadette Subaru, the 14-year-old girl who received the 18 visions of the Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of Lourdes, was commanded to dig in the ground and drink of the water and eat those herbs as she did so. It caused a great stir when she did so, but people began to see that the water was opening up from the ground, and people began to bathe in it. Somebody was healed of blindness and had a disabled arm, and many miracles were claimed there, and those miracles are still happening today, as we can hear from Father John Hollowell about his reversal of a brain tumor that he was experiencing. Now, Father, if we were to dial it back a little bit, what were the, of course, everybody knows the Mayo Clinic as being this this great place where people go oftentimes when they've got nowhere else to go for looking for medical healing and treatment. What was it? What were the symptoms that you were experiencing that made you think that either you had a brain tumor, or how did you know to approach the Mayo Clinic with this?
Yeah, so I had some seizures, eventually I sought help through my family doctor, who then referred me on to a hospital in my parish boundaries, and they originally thought it was a stroke, which brain tumors are often misdiagnosed early on as strokes, and so my doctor there knew that it just wasn't fitting together, and so he had a contact up at Mayo Clinic, and then so I went up there, and again, then received the diagnosis that I had a brain tumor on the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes.
Yeah, that is an amazing correspondence with that date. We're talking today with Father John Hollowell, pastor of Annunciation in Brazil, Indiana, and from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And we're talking about his healing from a brain tumor when he went to Lourdes. Now, Father, did you do the whole going through the bathing in the water or the washing in the water, or was it just an experience of prayer that you had at that shrine?
Yeah, so it had just opened back up pretty recently from COVID, and so, we had to wear masks, you know, when I went into the baths, and they were still, at that time, just pouring water on our hands. So basically, they poured water one time on my hands, and that they told me I was supposed to rub my hands together, and then the second pour I was supposed to drink. And then the third pour, I was supposed to rub on my head and face. And so I did that, and it was a chaotic trip, I guess, you know, again. But eventually I put it all together that I was healed there.
Absolutely. And in some of these occasions where people bathe in the water, I know this case of Danila Castelli, who was miracle number 69, I believe, at Lourdes. Her experience with having tumors, she went to the baths of Lourdes, and she felt something immediately when she got out of the water, and she was greeted by her husband, who saw a change in her. Were your feelings of healing, perhaps, or sense that you were healed, did it happen close to the time of you being in the water, or was it a later understanding that you had been healed?
Yeah, I think it was like... again, you know, the trip was so chaotic. It was a trip that, like, in the chaos, I had thousands of prayers answered. You know, just finding my path to Lourdes and everything. But it was also a pretty stressful trip. And so it was more of a gradual realization that I had been healed just because of the chaotic nature of the trip. But, yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that coming back from that trip, despite all the chaos, you had a feeling of healing of some sort. And people around you, as you mentioned, were seeing that you were looking or acting differently, which had to be nice to hear that you were looking better. But I'm sure that at some point you approached the doctors of Mayo Clinic or otherwise to get a new MRI. What did the MRI show?
I had an MRI about 2 weeks after I got back from Lourdes, and the tumor, the MRI showed that the tumor was gone, and that it was there was just scar tissue from the surgeries remaining, and then the MRIs have started to space out, I had an MRI 4 months after that, an initial MRI right after Lourdes. I had an MRI 4 months later, and then I found out at that MRI that I don't have to come back for 7 months, and so that's the story.
Wonderful. I have to imagine that when you get a diagnosis like a brain tumor, it's perhaps a difficult or dark time for a person. It's a scary moment, no matter who gets it, no matter how strong their faith is. It's got to be a difficult burden to bear. And you had a special special offering that you were making of this diagnosis. You accepted it, and you were offering it for clergy. And talk a little bit about sacrificing for victims of Catholic clergy abuse. Talk about that experience of hearing that terrible diagnosis and what led you along the path to offer it.
Yeah. So in 2018, I preached a series of homilies on the clergy abuse crisis, the Catholic clergy abuse crisis. And remember early on in the winter of 2019, just making a prayer, you know, that if there is anything that I could endure and suffer for the victims of clergy, Catholic clergy abuse, that I would do that willingly. And about a month later, I had my first seizure. Posting that, and I ended up getting into touch with about 170 different victims of clergy abuse. So I took those 170 names into the Mayo Clinic surgery and recovery and just prayed for them, you know, every day. My mom, it took me about 5 days to wake up from the surgery, and then about another 5 days before I could move the right side of my body. And so my mom would just like read off names of victims of clergy abuse. And I actually had a wristband that I took into surgery with me, you know, for all the victims. It's been, you know, I guess just the Catholic Church and listening to the first letter of St. Peter says, you know, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow. And so, that was kind of where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, I know that's a beautiful thing to have thought to offer this great suffering. We're talking today with Father John Hollowell about his healing from a brain tumor at the Lourdes Sanctuary in France. And of course, to clarify for people, at least according to what I've read, is that you did go to the Mayo Clinic and they did do the MRI and found the tumor, and you did have a treatment, a surgery, which removed the tumor. But shortly before you left for your Lourdes trip, your tumor had returned. Talk a little bit about that experience of disappointment, perhaps, when you learned that your tumor had returned, even after this invasive surgery.
Yeah. So that was in about a year ago, in January. or February of 2022, I had basically a high definition MRI, and that showed that the tumor had started to grow back, and that again it had spread to my pituitary gland, and I was noticing some of the side effects of a pituitary tumor, along with, again, you know, a decreased ability to preach, and, you know, so I was having to preach off of text again, as I was mentioning earlier. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I was perfectly fine to die, but, you know, I thought, well, it could be a neat story, you know, if I went to the Lord's and appealed there, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's beyond a good story for you now. It's a great blessing to have received from Our Lady of Lourdes. And people can watch your video announcement on your blog. What's the name? How can people find your blog post or your blog site?
It is on this rock. Blogspot.com. Yeah, it's just a Google blog.
Yeah, and your story is trending like crazy right now. People are very excited for you, and so people can watch that YouTube video. I posted it on my Facebook page as well for people who want to hear the excitement in your voice and the joy and the gratitude. All of that comes together. And as we wrap up the interview today, as you reflect on this experience going through perhaps these dark moments and then being cured of this situation at Lourdes, What might you share with the listeners about hope and faith that you learned from this experience?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I guess the, like I said, you know, I was okay if it led to death. You know, I was preparing, you know, even for that. So I think, one of the things that Pope John Paul II talked about, and, you know, it's obviously in the Bible lots, in lots of different places, to not be afraid. And I think that has been my approach as well, that we shouldn't be afraid and just to take it one day at a time. You know, I think there's a lot of anxiety in the larger world and chaos. And so just to take it one day at a time and to not be afraid, you know. Yeah, I guess that's the main thing that I would say.
Absolutely. Well, we're so grateful to you, Father John Hollowell of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, for joining us today and sharing your remarkable story of a healing at Lourdes and your new lease on life with this brain tumor having disappeared after your visit there and bathing in the waters of Lourdes. We're so grateful to you for joining us and sharing this on our program today, and best wishes as you go forward in the future. Thank you so much, Father John, for being with us today.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless us. Father John Hollowell of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis talking to us about his amazing healing from a brain tumor at Lourdes, an incredible story. And for people who want to hear more about the miracles of Lourdes, you can tune into my hour-long special, which will air on EWTN on February 11th, the feast day of Lourdes. Check your local listings, but we'll show you the behind the scenes of how that Lourdes Medical Bureau investigates those cases of healings that are serious conditions not liable to go on their own. They must be instantaneous, complete, and lasting cures with no medical treatment that affected that cure. So this is a great case. Perhaps this is number 71 on this list of Lourdes, but at the very least, it is an absolutely remarkable cure of a brain tumor. So we're so grateful to Father John Hollowell for joining us on today's program. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio. Check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest today, Matthew Arnold, who talked to us about Our Lady of Good Success, and Father John Hollowell, the pastor of Annunciation in Brazil, Indiana, about the healing of his brain tumor at Lourdes. And people can join me on pilgrimage. I'll be going to Poland in April of this year. We'll be doing a special pilgrimage there. We'll be going to all the sites of St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, and John Paul II, in addition to all the places of Eucharistic miracles and Marian apparitions and miraculous icons like Our Lady of Częstochowa. So check that one out. Go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter to sign up. And people can pick up my new book, Science and the Miraculous, How the Catholic Church Investigates the Supernatural. People can find out how the church is not anti-science, and in fact has been the great patron and supporter of science throughout the ages. So that's called Science and the Miraculous, available out from Tan Books and available at EWTNRC.com. I'd like to thank you today for joining me on Miracle Hunter. We're from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events. Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.